As we noted earlier, Paul's trial before Felix, the governor of Judea, is over now. But rather than releasing Paul, which was the right thing to do, based on the charges given against him and based on the lack of evidence and the lack of witnesses, we talked about this last week, Paul should have been released, but Felix kept him in custody. Felix shows himself to be rather indecisive. He's actually caught in a difficult place. He's caught between doing the right thing and doing the easy thing. How often are you and I in that same situation? We're caught in this little place between doing the right thing and doing the easy thing. The right thing may cost us a little bit. The easy thing will make things smoother. So we're stuck there. That's where Felix seemed to be stuck, in this moment of indecisiveness. What would have been the easy thing for Felix? Well, the easy thing would have been to appease the Jews. He knew what the Jews wanted. He didn't want to cause any further offense against the Jews. He's not really had a good relationship with the Jews. And we talked about that earlier. He'd been ruling for 5 years in Judea, and it seemed like his relationship with the Jews were always a bit rocky there. Why do one more thing to further cause offense? So at the end of the hearing, instead of doing the right thing of releasing Paul, Felix did the easy thing. He stated that he would wait for further word from Lysias. Lysias was the Roman commander who took Paul into custody there in the city of Jerusalem. Now, we've already said and we've already noted that he didn't really need more information from Lysias. Lysias had already given Felix his advice back in chapter 23, verse 29. These were the words that Lysias wrote to Felix. He says, I found that the accusations had to do with questions of their law. Paul wasn't a threat to Rome. He was just simply raising some religious, theological questions. And then Lysias goes on, and that there's no charge against him deserving of death or imprisonment. Again, Paul was not a threat. Paul should not have been in prison. He was not deserving of death. Now, we looked last week about what Felix did during this waiting period, while he was waiting for Lysias to give further word. And by the way, the scriptures never tell us how that ended. Did Lysias report back? He just kind of left it as a question. But let's look now at verse 24. It says, several days later, Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. We noted last time how these four themes, faith in Christ Jesus, righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, are all themes addressed in the book of Romans. And that Paul had just written Romans a few months before, at the end of his third missionary journey when he was in the city of Corinth. So these ideas were fresh on his mind, and we looked at those four themes last time. We noted that it was because of our sin that we stand before God as unrighteous, objects of God's wrath. We also noted Paul's theme of righteousness. And we said there were two kinds of righteousness. There's a kind of righteousness that we try to achieve for ourselves, which always fails. And that's one of the themes that Paul talks about in Romans. But then there was the righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. We noted in the opening chapters of Romans that there is a judgment to come when we are gripped with our sin. We know that we stand in trouble before a holy God, but there is a solution. That's why Paul wrote the letter of Romans to say, listen, even though the news that we have sin in our lives and we stand before the judgment seat of God, don't need to worry because God has sent his son Jesus Christ. And if we would just put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, his righteousness becomes our righteousness. And again, last week we looked at several passages from the book of Romans addressing those very themes. So, Paul addressed those four themes with Felix, and then we read verse 25. Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you. When I have a convenient time, I'll listen to you again, but leave for now. Too much information. I'm uncomfortable." It is interesting that Felix is gripped with fear. He's afraid. There's an irony in that situation. Who should have been afraid? Paul or Felix? You know, Felix was a powerful governor. And as we've noted before when we introduced Felix, he, over the last 5 years in which he's ruled in Judea, has been brutal at times. He's gotten himself into trouble numerous times for his brutality. He was a powerful man who used his power to oppress and to kill others. Paul, he was a humble missionary, standing before this powerful man, telling this man and his wife, Drusilla, about self-control, about the sin in their lives, about the judgment to come. Drusilla, Felix, they both had sin in their life. And we, again, give a little bit of history on that. And we noted last time that Drusilla had previously been married to someone else and that Felix seduced her and drew her away. And that he himself was on his third wife, they both, in their marital life and in their political life, they both lacked self-control. They both were gripped with sin. I wonder as Paul is standing before Felix in this situation and talking about sin and the judgment to come, if the story of John the Baptist came to his mind. Remember the story of John the Baptist in the Gospels? John the Baptist got himself into prison when he was active and involved in proclaiming and declaring to Herodias and Herod, the king and the queen at that time, about their lack of self-control, about the sin in their life and the judgment to come. In fact, if you think about the story, again, we read this in the Gospels about Herod and Herodias, it's very similar to the story of Felix and Drusilla. Herod had seduced his brother's wife away from him, Herodias. And John the Baptist was preaching about that. He was declaring that you can't do that. He says, you cannot have your brother's wife. And so, again, we have this lack of self-control, this lack of marital fidelity seen in the life of Herod and Herodias, as well as Felix and Drusilla. And what happened to Herod at the end of that story? Actually, no, what happened to John the Baptist at the end of the story? He lost his head. He was put to death. Herodias was the one who initiated that and brought about that because she was very troubled that this preacher was pointing out the sin of Herod and Herodias. You think Paul should have been afraid in this situation? Doing the right thing? Doing the easy thing? Doing the right thing? Doing the easy thing. addressing the sin in this world, both the sin in our own lives and the sin in the world, or overlooking that sin, both our own sin and the sin in the world, in order to avoid being uncomfortable, doing the right thing, doing the easy thing. However, as we see in the story, it's Felix who is afraid, not Paul. What should be our reaction when we confront and when we recognize our own sin, our own judgment to come? Are we afraid? There are two tragedies that are possible for every human soul when it comes to confronting our sin before God. One of those tragedies is the tragedy of never being afraid, never trembling, never coming to face our sin before a holy God. You know, if we never tremble about our sin, we will never seek a Savior for that sin. So one of the dangers or one of the tragedies of life is when we don't recognize our sin, don't need or don't seek the need of a Savior for the sin. Another tragedy in life is when we ignore our sin or we disregard that Spirit-produced trembling over our sin before a holy God. You know, one of the works of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of our sin. When we feel uncomfortable, when we have conviction of sin in our own lives, that's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. The one whom God has brought to recognize sin, to fear for our souls, should not turn away. This raises the danger of procrastination. We see that danger of procrastination in the life of Felix. Notice that Felix doesn't say he never wants to hear from Paul again. He wants to hear from Paul again. But rather, he says, when I find it convenient, when I have a convenient time, I'll send for you. Let's deal with this issue tomorrow. Felix was making that potentially fatal error of procrastination. You know, when the Word of God brings conviction into our lives, when the Holy Spirit brings conviction into our life, we must never turn off our response. We need to respond. What are some of the dangers of procrastination, especially when it comes to the procrastination of embracing the message of salvation, of dealing with the sin in our lives? Well, one is this. One, we might hear that same truth again, but it doesn't bring that same level of conviction. You know, the Holy Spirit, as we mentioned, one of the ministries or gifts of the Spirit is to bring that conviction of sin into our lives. And the Spirit does indeed do that, but can we expect the Holy Spirit to continue to bring conviction when we continue to ignore the Holy Spirit? So even though the same truth is brought to our attention again, it doesn't bring the same conviction again. We have ignored it so many times that the Spirit no longer brings us that conviction. The second danger of procrastination is that if we don't act upon these truths, we actually ourselves become hardened. We don't understand. We don't deal with our sin anymore. Think about these two cases. In the first case, it's the Holy Spirit who is actually changing. The Holy Spirit no longer revisits us with that convicting power. In fact, the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 24, Paul's describing how God deals with us in our sin. And it says in verse 24, therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their heart. In other words, God sent the convicting power of His Holy Spirit. But when we ignore God speaking to us, He gives us over to our sins. In the first case, the Holy Spirit changes. In the second place, we change. We become hardened and calloused to that work of the Holy Spirit. We delay dealing with our sins. We put it off until tomorrow. And this delay may result in our eternal death. Procrastination. There are some real dangers to procrastination. I found a few quotes on procrastination. Procrastination is like a credit card. It's a lot of fun until you get the bill. Now, this speaks to our procrastinating when it comes to hearing the message of salvation and responding to it. But I also think this speaks to procrastination in general in so many other areas of our lives as well. Procrastination is a lazy man's apology. A year from now, you wish you had started today. Who's ever been in that position? I'll put off my diet to some other day. I'll put off this to some other day. I'll put off repairing the car to some other day, and then you're needing to haul a tow truck because you put it off. I like this one. Even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. A lot of wisdom there. Procrastination is the grave where opportunity is burned. Buried. Thank you. Consider the dangers of procrastination in this poem. He was going to be all that a mortal should be tomorrow. No one would be better than he tomorrow. Each morning he stacked up letters he would write tomorrow. It was too bad indeed. He was too busy to see his friends. But he promised to do it tomorrow. The greatest of workers this man would have been tomorrow. The world would have known him had he ever seen tomorrow. But the fact is he died and faded from view. And all that was left when Libya was through was a mountain of things you intended to do tomorrow. Procrastination is one of the greatest killers of the man's eternal soul. Failing to embrace the offer of salvation. It's been said that if vice has slain its thousands and pride its thousands, surely procrastination has slain its tens of thousands. And when it comes to salvation, today is the day of salvation. The book of Hebrews touches upon this theme as a repeating theme throughout the entire book. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion. When the people of Jerusalem heard the Apostle Peter on that day of Pentecost proclaiming the gospel message, how did they respond? They responded immediately, without procrastination. Remember Acts chapter 2? Verses 37, 38, when the people heard this, when they heard Peter preaching the message of Jesus, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? They didn't say, When it is convenient, we'll come back and hear you again. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And remember how many people responded immediately instead of putting it off for another day? 3,000. 3,000. Today is the day of salvation. Remember the story of the Philippian jailer that we saw on Paul's missionary travels? He heard Paul's testimony through the night, Paul singing hymns of praise and talking about Jesus. The earthquake came. He came to a crisis point in his life. And what does he do? He responds when Peter, or when the Apostle Paul cries out to him. He doesn't put it off until tomorrow. He responds immediately. And then we have Paul himself. Paul himself, an arch enemy at the church at the time the Lord grabbed hold of him during that road to Damascus. Imagine if Paul, hearing the voice of Jesus, experiencing that blinding light of Jesus, said to Jesus, you know, when it's convenient, come back and we'll talk some more. No, Paul responds immediately. However, Felix, he doesn't. Does not repent. He's afraid, so he recognizes his sin, his judgment to come. He recognizes that his own version of righteousness doesn't really cut it with God. But instead of changing, instead of embracing the message that Paul gives, he's merely afraid. Merely afraid. He does not embrace that message of salvation that Paul is sharing. He procrastinates. Each of us need to be very careful to avoid the dangers of procrastination, both when it comes to our salvation, today is the day of salvation, but also when it comes to do we know the will of God in our lives? Do we submit to the will of God in our lives, or do we just put it off until tomorrow? Put it off till tomorrow. Let's return now to the purpose and the story of Felix, picking our story up now in verse 26. Verse 26. This is at the same time he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe. So he sent for him frequently and talked with him. Felix kept Paul in jail because he wanted a bribe from this prisoner. Now, in the Roman Empire, bribes were not looked highly upon. They were forbidden by Roman law, but they still did it anyway. And so it was a common practice, even though it was frowned upon. And why would Felix think that Paul would be able to give him a bribe? Well, there's two clear reasons. One, Paul showed up in Jerusalem with a large sum of money to give to the brothers there in Jerusalem. So Felix is thinking, hey, if he can bring a large sum of money to the people, the poor folks of Jerusalem, he ought to have money that he can give to me. He also may have noticed that Paul's friends were coming to him often during this two-year period of time and supplying all of his daily needs. So maybe Felix is thinking, hey, listen, if these friends of his can bring him Paul all these resources, all this money, maybe Paul should mention to them, hey, if I got a little extra money next week, I can maybe give that to Felix and he'll let me out of jail. We read that Felix sent for him frequently and talked to him. How many of those visits were visits trying to elicit a bribe from Paul? How many of those visits were involved an honest inquiry into the message of Paul and then further delays in responding to that message? Again, it's that notion of procrastination. Was Felix and Drusilla just interested in hearing more, or were they interested in responding? Were they interested in having Paul come back when it was a convenient time for them? Verse 27, it says, when the 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, but because Felix wanted to grant a favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. Now, what brought an end to Felix's time as governor? We've already mentioned he had been governor for 5 years. 2 years later, his time as governor had ended. We've also noted that during the past 5 years, his term in office had been very turbulent, lots of conflicts and tensions with the Jewish people. We'd mentioned that there was not a good relationship between Felix and the Jews. So, how does his time in office come to an end? Well, apparently, there was continued civil strife there in Caesarea. And it was actually between the Jews and the Gentile populations in that. And just like Felix had done so many times before, he mismanaged that conflict and he became very brutal. And we read in the story and the history of this account that he killed many, many Jews as a way of suppressing this conflict. And so this provoked the Jews of Caesarea to send a delegation to Rome, protesting the actions of Felix and trying to get his removal from office. They had had enough. They had dealt with it for 7 years now, and they were done with this governor. And so they brought their case to Rome, and Nero, the emperor at the time, would be hearing this case. So Felix is trying to curry some favor with the Jewish leadership in Jerusalem in light of the troubles he's having with the Jews in Caesarea. Felix knew that he would be questioned about the disturbances that had occurred in Caesarea. And if he got the Jews in Jerusalem on his good side, that may help him in this situation. He wanted to gain the support of the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem by keeping Paul in prison, counteracting all the accusations that the Jews of Caesarea would certainly be bringing before Nero, the emperor. Felix would go back to Rome to answer these accusations. He wanted to go back with a little bit of favor on his side. Now, Festus would be replacing him as the governor of Judea. We'll talk more about Festus, the new governor, later on. Next chapter is kind of focuses on him. But let's come back to and finish with this theme we mentioned before, God's providence. God's providence. We talked about God's providence earlier. When that plot was revealed against the Apostle Paul, we noted that it was God's providence that was able to put Paul in a safe place, to protect Paul. And so in this current situation with Felix and Festus is another example of God's providence. You know, typically in a situation like this, the governor who was leaving office, Felix in this case, would have cleared out all the unfinished business. He'd leave nothing behind for the next guy. So Felix, if he had simply released Paul from custody, would have left Paul there in Caesarea. He'd be stuck in Caesarea, and that would have put him in danger of being killed by the Jews. And we've already noted that Jesus came to Paul and told Paul he would arrive in Rome safely. So God's providence will bring Paul to Rome. By keeping Paul in custody, it gives Paul the opportunity to appeal to Rome and to go to Rome. And we'll see this story in chapter 25 a bit later when Paul appeals to Rome before Festus, the new governor. Paul will go to Rome safely under Roman protection. As we mentioned before, God can sometimes use the evil intentions of men to accomplish his good purpose. When we first introduced this idea of providence, we mentioned the story of Joseph. Joseph was being used by God to bring about his good purposes. The brothers of Joseph had evil intentions, and we noted in that story, Genesis chapter 50, Joseph said, "What you intended for evil, God used for good." Here, Felix has purposes and intentions that he means for evil that are not the right thing, but God will use them for the good. And so, Paul will stay here, or has stayed here, in the city of Caesarea for 2 years. Felix is now removed. Festus is now the new governor. And as we continue next time with Paul's words and Paul's trial before Festus, we'll continue to see God's purposes at work in the life of the Apostle Paul. We intend it for evil, God intends it for good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you have kept the Apostle Paul in your protective hands. He will arrive in Rome. You have promised it. You will protect him and guide him. Father, we know that for each one of us, you have a plan. You have a place that you are bringing us to. And we also know that your providence will bring us to that place. Let us trust in that. Let us know that your will be done. Despite our fumbled attempts, despite men's evil intentions. Father, continue to draw to our minds the principles of faithfulness and trust that the Apostle Paul holds on to. Help us always as well to seek to do the right thing, rather than the easy thing. And Father, remind us again and again that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of doing the will of God in our lives and embracing the message of the gospel. Do not let us put it off until tomorrow. Let us know your salvation and your will for our lives today. We thank you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.